And Shug joins us now. Shug, it's Anthony and Jude here on Express Bet Radio. Thanks for some time today.
Oh, no problem, Anthony and Jude. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Talk a little about Orb and looking back in the same position now with a Fountain of Youth winner trying to get to the Florida Derby. Reminisce a little about Orb and what it was like leading him up to the Express Bet Florida Derby 6 years ago.
Well, obviously, I was excited. You know, I mean, he ran a good race in the Fountain of Youth, just coming off an allowance race win that I was a little bit surprised that that he was able to win, just because his track at that time was so speed favoring. He ran good, so we came back and off an AO, then jumping back up to the Fountain of Youth. Sometimes it's a little bit of a big jump for me, but you know, he was able to run good, so that gave us some excitement coming into the Florida Derby. And as Code of Honor has, he trained very, very well and had been seen to handle everything I was throwing at him. And so, you know, we had a good day, as we hope we do here on this Saturday.
Yeah, a maiden win on the front end, is first time out, is not something we ordinarily see from Shug McGahee runners, and then, of course, that big effort in the Fountain of Youth. You mentioned it's not something you normally do, right, just running these horses. You like to run through their conditions. But you did just that with Code of Honor, from a maiden win to a grade one in the Champagne, and he ran lights out that day. Has he showed you he's been this kind since day one for you to have that confidence in him to do that?
Anthony, when I got, he had been in Florida, and then he went to Fairhill, and he trained good there. But you know, I wasn't really thinking too much about him. Noble Mission, and nobody knew anything about him really at the time, except that, you know, he was a full brother to Frank, only ran long on the grass over there, and this and that. But when I got him up to Saratoga, was training him on Oklahoma, he trained really, really good, and I worked him one day, and just with the exercise rider on him, he worked a good solid half mile, but the way he galloped out around that turn, you know, to pass the three-quarter pole was pretty eye-opening to me. And when we went over there that day for the first time, Mark Cassie had a horse of Live Oaks in there, and I think it finished second or third and ran really good his first start. And I really kind of had a hesitance that maybe we wouldn't be able to beat him, because, you know, just because I was impressed with his first race. But I'm not sure that horse is not still a maiden. But, and, you know, he was able to run good. And as we all know, a little bit of the problems today is, you know, there's not allowance races to run them back in. So, you know, we took a shot in the Champagne. He'd worked really well coming up to it, and we just got unlucky, and he stumbled really bad leaving there. But, you know, maybe that taught us something a little bit too, that, you know, that he wanted to be more of a one-run horse and a horse up on the lead. So we'll see.
You mentioned in a couple of articles that you thought maybe you were being a little light on him, and you started training him harder, and he responded, and he's really come around. How much time do you spend thinking? Is it something that pops into your head all of a sudden, or you know, is it over time, or what's that feeling like for a trainer when you decide to take a different direction?
Jude, one thing, we got to be very careful with working them harder. Let's use, we did more with him in today's time. I'm just playing, but pretty much off the bat, after the Mucho Macho Man here, you know, I was disappointed in the way he ran. You know, Johnny came back and said, you know, Shug, he did everything wrong today. And, you know, so he was ducking from the dirt. He made a noise, and I knew that wasn't a problem. And, you know, that just made me think that maybe he got tired and just wasn't happy with all that was going on. And I just felt like that if he was going to make a decent horse, I was going to have to maybe do a little bit more with him and try to bring him over here, you know, a little tighter than I did in the Mucho Macho Man. You know what I mean? He went to Louisville and he got sick, and we came back up here, and y'all, well, especially Anthony knows, our month of November was terrible. And, you know, I mean, I was training right along thinking about running him in a Remsen, and I didn't. Then we shipped him down here and, you know, ran him, you know, fairly quick after he shipped, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in the Mucho Macho, and he probably hadn't worked but a couple times. And, you know, I just thought that, you know, I didn't think the race turned up exactly right. We kind of got away in a little bit of a jumble, and Johnny sort of rushed him up there in the second quarter, and I think that took a little bit out of him. And, you know, it was just something that when the race was over with, and after I thought about it for a day or two, I said, you know, this horse, maybe, even though he is sort of a slight frame type of a horse, maybe he does want more training. And the more that I've been around him now, you know, and kind of doing a little bit more with him, the more I do believe in that, too. I think that he is the kind of horse that wants his training and he likes his training.
Talking with Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, he has one of the favorites, Code of Honor, in the Express Bet Florida Derby coming up this Saturday. You can hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have ever come to Belmont Park, and I'm sure most of you listening have, you see Shug and his lovely wife, Allison, walking past the patio and down to the racing office after the races are run. And Shug has the look, and Shug has never told me no, but I think part of that is because I know that when Shug has the look, when one of them runs befuddling to him, you don't bother Shug. Well, did you have one of those looks, boss, after the Mucho Macho Man? Because, you know, he obviously 4-5, he comes over there, and I'm sure that look changed after the Fountain of Youth.
Well, yeah, I was disappointed. I was disappointed in, you know, the feedback I got from Johnny that, you know, how many mistakes that the horse had made in the race. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll blame myself for that stuff. And maybe, you know, sometimes it's, you shouldn't, but sometimes, you know, a lot of times I do. And, you know, but I'm also, just as Jude was saying, I'm sort of maybe thinking about, you know, where there was a mistake made, whether it was in his training or on the track, you know, the way that maybe I'd wanted to run the horse, you know, what in what style. And so, you know, I'm trying to think through things, but a lot of times with what you're saying, Anthony, I'm really mad. I could say something else, but I'm not. But I was really, you know, I get mad. I get down on. Sometimes I get down on the situation, maybe when I shouldn't. But you know, after the Mucho Macho Man, I'm sure I was irritated and disappointed, and not only in my horse, but in myself, maybe. And I just had to sort of figure it out, and that was why. You know, seeing him run the way he did in the Fountain of Youth was pretty satisfying to me.
You mentioned John Velasquez, his Hall of Fame rider, a few times in this interview, and Johnny gave him an exceptional ride in the Fountain of Youth. Johnny's passing up a pretty a possible lucrative payday over in Dubai. I know he was supposed to ride Seeking the Soul, but things kind of changed in the weeks after the Fountain of Youth, and Johnny's going to stay here to chase his third Kentucky Derby. You're here looking for your second. How important was it for you to keep Johnny aboard Code of Honor in the Florida Derby?
Well, I think it's important whenever you have him at any time. But, you know, with him knowing him and having the confidence that he's got in him to be able to make that decision, you know, not to go over there and with the money they were giving away, and you know, was a very satisfactory to me. You know, I mean, it showed the confidence he had in him, and so, you know, we were glad to be able to have him and to be able to retain him, and, you know, hopefully that we'll run well in the Fountain of Youth. I mean, you know, Florida Derby, and we'll be able to retain him down the line. If that's where we go. I mean, as we all know, there's none better, and, you know, he's got all the experience, and, you know, the race will be left up to him on Saturday, and you know, I hope that hope it all works out. But, you know, that's the one good thing about, you know, these top riders, especially, you know, the ones we got in New York, is you almost got to kind of leave it up to them, maybe just tell them some habits. And, you know, I just don't think there's anybody he might not be the best, but there's not anybody any better. And I got a lot of confidence. We've had a lot of luck together over the years. And, you know, he's got a pretty good mentor in his ear sometimes, too, an Angel. So,
yeah, that guy was okay on horseback.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
the draw bother you at all, Shug? I know it's obviously out of your hands, but does the draw bother you at all going from that cozy inside draw all the way to post nine?
Well, a little bit, but like you say, there's nothing I can do about it. And, you know, having a rider like Johnny on the horse, he's gonna get him where he wants to be if he can be. And if he can't be, he's going to compromise in some way. It's not going to really hurt our chances, I don't think. But, you know, in the Fountain of Youth, even though we had the rail and this and that, there was a couple of little maneuvers he had to make with horses stopping in front of him. A horse stopped in front of him. We had to go around and drop him back to the rail. Another horse stopped. He had to go around again. So from out there, I'm sure he's going to look for a clean trip and when he makes his run to make a clean run, you know.
Well, you got a lot of weight between Anthony and I to carry. So we hope we don't hinder you any. I really have enjoyed watching that horse and watching the work you've done with him, and hopefully he can continue on.
I hope so too. You know, he's been kind of a pleasant surprise for us, and you know, he has been fun. You know, it was frustrating to see him stumble leaving the gate at into Champagne and run the way he did, but it was also satisfying. And then the way he trained up for the Breeders' Cup, you know, I mean, he was lights out. And I think he would have made a big impression in there, win or lose. But, you know, it wasn't to be just because, you know, he got up there and he started coughing when we got him there, like on Monday. And we were kind of hoping against hope. And then on Friday morning, he ended up having a temperature. So that was probably a blessing in disguise anyway. You know, with him coughing and stuff, he probably wouldn't have run any good. Then we wouldn't know what was going on. And, you know, so here we sit today. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've always thought was, is you can't really think about sometimes about if something goes wrong today, because there might be something in the future that's just as good.
It's a good outlook, especially in this game.
Yeah.
It's as good an outlook as I think you can have. Shug, thanks for all the time as always, and best of luck on Saturday, and we'll talk to you down the Derby Trail.
Okay, Anthony, thank you.